All right. We are back from our little recess. The time is 7:48. Under new business, number one, we have the waive the financial policy and approves CTI for the 14B court audio in the newly constructed courthouse in the amount of $28,336.76, budget in line item 101, 901, 971, 236, the court renovation grant. A motion is
Mo Peterson.
Motion Peterson, support Roe. Briefly, I'm sorry.
Yes, I will be brief. I'm April Sally. I'm with the 14B District Court. We're looking to waive the financial policy for the audio for the courtrooms when the renovation is complete. Due to timeliness, we've been waiting to make sure that there was not any unforeseen surprises that kind of blew our budget. And also the fact that we are Ypsilanti Township, but we contract with Washtenaw County for our network and IT support. And they have a contract with this audio company, so they can work closely with the IT to make sure we can effectively record our court proceedings. And they are also offering a discounted rate due to the fact that they have a contract with the county.
Thank you. Are there questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Sorry, that was a cracker. Number two, waive the financial policy. Thank you. And approve Smith's detection for the 14B court security system in the amount of $42,793, which is budgeted.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support.
Support Thornton. April.
Again, along the same lines, timeliness, waiting on the budget, making sure there wasn't anything we didn't foresee. Also, kind of mocking the same equipment that the county uses for use of training and just the same throughout the county.
Questions or comments regarding this?
I would just give one comment. April will not say it for herself, but in these two bids, she's been able to save that project roughly $60,000 by going out and doing this work. So we appreciate that.
Thank you. We have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number three is to approve the 2025 National Kidney Foundation of Michigan Venue Access Agreement.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion Peterson. Support Roe. Mr. Josh.
Thank you. Just want to say that this program is a fantastic opportunity for our seniors in our area that helps with giving techniques for reducing falls. And it's a free program that is a suggested monthly donation of $20 that is not required for the program. But we really have enjoyed working with the Kidney Foundation and look forward to moving forward with them.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number four is to approve the revised credit card policy.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge.
Support.
Support Newman. Accounting Director Giovanna Neal.
Hello, Board. So I'm bringing forth a revised version of the policy. What initiated this was that we are going to try to move our credit cards to Huntington, where we have all of our banking. Currently, we have that with Comerica. It's really inconvenient to try to transfer money into the account that we have to pay for the credit cards. They do charge us a fee every time we do that. We have a small money market account that we with the environmental fund, and we'll take that and we move that and then pay back the environmental fund. But they do charge us every time we do that. So in order to have it a no charge and to make it more convenient within our banking unit, we'd like to just move everything to Huntington. And in order to do that, we had to implement number three, the change, to authorize. They would just like to see an authorization to execute an agreement. So was there any questions on the red lines that I had? That was really the only addition. Of course, I added an addition to the definition of what is immediate. I see that people say immediate means different things. So we wanted to make sure that we said, when we say immediate, it's that day. If it's a weekend, it's going to be Monday when you come back in. So just so everybody's clear on when they have to turn in their stuff.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments? Trustee Rowe.
I apologize because I'm not exactly sure what was that, but I know there was like a committee that oversees it or something. And I was just wondering on the committee, because it was the financial, the treasurer and the clerk is the ones that authorizes issuance, but they were like the key players on the committee. So I didn't know like who oversees their charge cards. Maybe I misunderstood the paragraph.
So the committee is actually, they decide when we first did these, who was getting the card, what the rates of the cards were going to be. And then I get all of the credit card receipts. I do all the reconciliations on those. I make sure that everybody is in line. That's done once a month, as it states in here. And, you know, there are implications. If you don't turn your stuff in correctly, you know, we do pull the card from you. If you can't, it's a procurement card. You know, it makes it easier for all of us to use, especially with the online. We have a lot we can't do but online stuff. So it does reconvene for that. But I do all of the reconciliation.
To answer the trustee's question, we do not have a card in the treasurer's office.
Okay. Does the clerk's office have one?
Yes, the clerk's office needs one because of the passports and the mailing that we have to do. It's all online. So that's their big use is the passport mailing.
I mean, I don't expect any issue or anything, but and I can't find it exactly right now, but it made it sound like that committee oversaw things too. And I understand what you just said, but you do work for the clerk, so maybe someone else should be involved in that if there's a problem. Like, you're going to take a credit card away from your boss?
Oh, I have not done that. But I threaten. Sorry.
No, that's what I'm saying, but who would?
Well,
you just
we
said
would,
that's
I
your
would,
job. You'll take it away from them.
Well, I
Well, if they violate the policy.
If they violate the policy, you're going to have to turn the card in. They do sign a waiver in the back saying they're 100% responsible for that card. And if I feel that they're not, I'm going to say that you can't have the card. And if they want to go speak with
the board.
All of you, then that's fine. But, I mean, I don't just take it away
so
from
does
anybody.
Does that say that in here, that you're the person responsible? Because I don't remember that.
For the
responsible for what?
For the trustee, I found it.
I think it's
section 8, item A. The deputy treasurer and the accounting director will be the program administrators?
Yes.
Is that what you're looking for?
Well, there was a committee, too.
There's also section 4.
It's like those are the ones that decide who gets it.
Exactly.
Right. So, but what you said about taking that authority is given to you in this policy?
I'm sorry.
There's more on the next page. The program administrators who will be responsible for accounting, monitoring, retrieval, and overseeing compliance with this policy.
It's on the next
page. So who is that?
I think it's the group because that's explaining that.
Because you said it was you, but...
No, it's the supervisor, the clerk, the treasurer, the deputy treasurer, and the accounting director. The supervisor will appoint the deputy treasurer and the accounting director as the program administrator.
Thank you.
Is that what you were looking for?
Yeah, that's what I... Yeah, that was my only issue was that... it's fine. I'm good. Accounting director's on there.
Madam Chair.
With the treasurer, right?
With everybody else, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm Trustee Peterson.
I have one question. I did read that today on the computer. My question is, when is that bill turned in you to get paid? Is it in a month?
I go online and pull that off.
Oh, okay.
So I go on every month and do the reconciliation every single month. I go in, I get notices. And we did have a fraud notice actually happen last week. We were on it right away. They actually stopped the card and issued a card and overnighted it to the person the next day. Okay. So, yes.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. Okay, I heard you, what you said to him. My other question, is there a budget on it? How much they can charge?
Yes.
What is that budget?
It depends on what department it is. Mm-hmm. HR has a lot more because she has a lot of training on hers. Okay. The lowest we have is $1,000. We do have like hydro, the full-time person there, not Mike, the manager, but mm-hmm. the other one. He has to have one for weekends if there's an emergency. So he is issued a card that has a $1,000 limit on that. But you still have to follow all the financial policy.
Guidelines.
Yes.
Yes.
So okay. All those still have to be followed.
So if, God forbid, there is a fraud, what steps do you take after that? I mean, if they use it for their personal, I don't see any of that coming. But you would take the necessary steps.
We did have, when we first started the cards, we did have an error that happened. Mm-hmm. It was just inadvertently someone had used their card at a grocery store, and didn't because it was the same color as their personal card. And they came in the next day and said, oh my gosh, I've done this. So we documented everything. They paid us back.
Okay. What I was going to say. It's a thing where you can pay it back. When you're talking
about... We've only had that once in 10 years.
Okay. But I'm not this administration. Other administrations have had cards where they have big value. Which spends thousands of dollars. So that's why I ask, is there a budget limit on the cards that you use for business here? And you're telling me it may be $1,000, depending on department. It's nothing like $20,000, $10,000, nothing like that sort.
And what we've done, what I've been asked to do is supply you with that list in December. Mm-hmm. So every December you'll get a list of all the managers that are... card has been issued to them and their credit limits on those.
Great.
So that you guys
you
would know
what's
going on there.
And this policy, this is just a revision to a 10-year policy?
Yeah.
Because I don't know when it was originally adopted, because I know this is a revision to the original policy, correct?
Correct.
And I'm glad that we're doing this in light of some of the recent articles in newspapers, and I remember saying, I'm so glad I don't have a credit card. And Giovanna said, they're all in your name. I go, what? Me neither. But what I'm, so it is
well, there,
good
there
to
is
have
one,
checks.
Yeah, there is one in your name.
Yeah.
But you have not used that.
Ever.
They probably take it away from you soon. If you don't use them,
take
they'll,
me off the list,
they'll,
yeah.
They usually just say that they're not needed. If Comerica right now, they see if you're not using it, if it's inactive, they'll cancel it.
After you get free something. Right? Thank you, Giovanna, and for working on this and bringing it forward and making sure we're accountable for the taxpayers. So we have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item, number 5, is to accept the resignation of Aaron Rose from the Local Development Finance Authority, the LDFA board, effective immediately. Motion Rowe.
Support.
Support Eldridge. He retired, so Ypsilanti Community Schools will make a recommendation and appoint someone to the LDFA. We have a motion support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 6 is approve the server upgrades for a cost of $80,000. Is that 6 or 8? $60,884.75. Budget and line item 101-228-977-000.
So moved.
Motioned. Eldridge, is that? It was in unison. I'm so sorry. Support row. Travis?
I'm here to answer any questions. This is basically a scheduled and planned upgrade budgeted for the year of 2025.
Okay. Your memo is very clear. We have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number seven is the first reading resolution 2025-21, which is a proposed ordinance 2025-511, an ordinance to amend the Charter Township of Ypsilanti Code of Ordinances, Chapter 66, Section 61, entitled Noxious Weed. Clerk Swanson?
Yep. Resolution 2025-20, amending the Township Court of Ordinances, Chapter 66, Section 61, Noxious Weeds definition. Whereas in 1941, the Michigan Legislature enacted a law which permitted townships to control and eradicate noxious weeds. And whereas Noxious Weeds Act, Public Act 359 of 1941, as amended, defines noxious weeds to include the following: Canada thistle, dodders, mustards, wild carrot, bindweed, ragweed, and poison ivy, poison sumac, or other plant that in the opinion of the township board is regarded as a common nuisance, with the exclusion of milkweed. Whereas the need to amend this ordinance came to our attention from a resident concerned that the noxious weeds definition included goldenrod, a native plant that is essential for pollinators in the late summer and autumn. And whereas the Township Board believes that adoption of Ordinance 2025-510, amending the definition of noxious weeds permitted under Public Act 359 of 1941, is in the best interest of the township and its residents as part of our Bee City Pledge to create and maintain pollinator habitat. And now, therefore, be it resolved that Ordinance Number 2025-510 is hereby adopted by reference. So moved.
Support.
Motion Swanson, support Rowe, to approve the first read.
Peterson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me. Support Peterson. To approve the first reading of the ordinance. Are there questions and comments? Yes.
Yeah. So the first thing that's in here is the old one?
No, that's an actual ordinance. And then the first one's a resolution to adopt it by reference, and the second one is the actual proposed.
I was just worried because the first one talks about reading out milkweed, but I wasn't sure it was the second one. They're not the same. And then milkweed is a big power.
Right, yeah. That drum beating is kind of annoying. It should be, and we'll note it, we'll make sure by the second reading, because it should be the, let me see, I'm in the provisions next week. We'll verify it. That's the intent.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing it. This is a, are there any other questions or comments? Thornton? We got a vote, roll call vote. Thornton? For the ordinance?
Yes.
Eldridge? Stumbo votes yes. Swanson?
Yes.
Peterson?
Yes.
Newman?
Yes.
Rowe?
Rowe votes yes.
The first reading is approved. Number eight is approval of W.J. O'Neill Company to replace the heat exchanger and boiler A at the Township Civic Center in the amount of $29,377, which is budgeted.
So moved, Peterson.
Motion Peterson.
Support Lovejoy Rowe.
Support Rowe. Mr. Hines.
Good evening, John Hines, Municipal Service Director. The request before you is due to a failure in the heat exchanger for boiler A that WJ noticed on a preventative maintenance visit back in late October. Unfortunately, the bolts that are connected completely failed and broke off within the nut, so the unit is not working. So out of the three, we are down one. Obviously, being the summertime, it's not as big of a pressing issue, but it is something that would be great to be addressed before we get back to the fall and cooler months. If this is approved tonight, WJ's supplier does have it in stock, and it would be repaired within 2 to 3 weeks, or a few weeks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 9 is the approval of Spicer Group for design and engineering services for the 100 hallway bathroom renovation project at the community center in the amount of $19,450, which is budgeted in line item 213-901-975-535 to be reimbursed by the Washtenaw County Community Development Block Grant, CBDG.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge?
Support.
Support Rowe?
Good evening again. So this is a request to approve Spicer Group for design and engineering services for the 2024 and 2025 CDBG funding allocation from Washtenaw County. I did try to provide the context within the memo, but the CDBG fund for 2021, 22, and 23 is currently what the township is utilizing for the Apple Ridge Park improvements. And our request for 2025 that was submitted to the county back in March was to improve the community center bathroom project in the 100 hallway. Unfortunately, we did not have the funding to do that as part of the ARPA project the board approved back in 2023. So the goal of this project would be to renovate the men's and women's locker room to make them ADA accessible, to increase the number of stalls per each. Right now there's only two, and utilize the space better where there's excess room with only two stalls. We would plan to also add storage in each that could be utilized for staff, especially for our maintenance staff, that would give them ease of access to their equipment and not have to go up and down stairs quite as much, and more readily available to service the rooms. Spicer Group, Manik & Smith Group, and OHM Advisors were the three engineering firms that were approached with this project that met myself and community center staff on site. We did reach out to two other firms, and they said this is not quite in their purview. Spicer Group was the lowest of the three quotes. They also are the firm that we're utilizing for the Apple Ridge project, so they are very familiar with the CDBG program. Manik & Smith was going to be higher than Spicer because, as I found out through the process, they have to contract through their architecture for the services, so that does add an added contractor expense. And then OHM was the highest, and through the process, it seemed that they did not quite, we're not on the same page for what we were looking to achieve by this project. I do feel very confident with Spicer on this to achieve the project goals within a timely manner. I've spoken with them multiple times about the project to be on the same page for what we are looking for, as well as the time frame we're looking at. Part of the reason that this proposal is here before you tonight is because the county did approach the township with additional funding they had available for 2025, and they said if we were able to get this project in before the end of the calendar year, at least I'll say 90% done, that they would allocate that funding earlier instead of September, which is when they normally award the funds. So if this were to be approved tonight, I would send the proposal to the county to start environmental review of the site, as well as let Spicer Group know. They already have the CAD files of the township of the community center due to the ARPA project, and we would kind of hit the ground running to put together the RFP to get that in front of you all for review and ideally start construction by September or early October. And it would really be doing an efficient but timely job, because this is a project that I think is sorely needed, especially for the increase in use of the building.
Thank you. Are there questions or comments?
I did have a question.
Yes, Trustee Rowe.
Yeah, just, aren't you surprised by the huge difference in the cost or the bids? Yeah. Two companies were really, like, where was the big difference?
So Manik & Smith, the big difference was they have to hire an outside architecture for the design services because they don't do it in-house. So they have to, of course, have the architecture's quote as top of a potential 30% increase on that, as well as their standard service fee that does line up more with Spicer's. OHM, their quote did surprise me. And as I kind of briefly touched on, I think they, I'm trying to word this in the most proper term, but they didn't quite understand, I think, the goals of the project, because the more that I spoke with them on this and I met them on site, all three companies got the same opportunity to see what the job is supposed to look like and what the project goals are. OHM did not have the same confidence in the timeline and really believed that it was going to be more work than it is. You know, one benefit that I forgot to mention about the ARPA project that the township completed last year was that all the water and sanitary lines to the building were redone. So both these bathrooms, obviously where we take up the toilets and sinks, will need new piping to the new piping that was added just outside all of those bathrooms. So you're really not running new line and doing earthwork outside of those confined rooms.
Think that OHM didn't know that and they did something?
I don't, and I did reach out to both Manic and OHM once the decision to move forward tonight with Spicer, just to say that we did have another firm that we were going to bring to the board, just to be fair to them. And even in that discussion with OHM, they said, well, I don't understand. And I said, look, you got the same opportunity, and this is not a small job, but it's also a very straightforward job, and I think that's where maybe something was lost.
What is the amount of the 2025 allocation?
Yes, so the 2024 and 2025 allocation at a base is $317,278, and there is potential that more could be allocated if there is a need, which we'll find out through the RFP process.
What I know is those, I think they're the original bathrooms. I'm not, Doug, you went to school there, did you? No, you did, didn't you? You went to that school, did Foster? The community center.
Foster school.
Was it Foster or Ross?
Foster.
Yeah, he's acting like he.
Like you don't know what you're talking about.
I do believe it's the original bathrooms.
I'm not sure about that, but it's Foster school.
I will say that it's definitely the original bathroom since the renovation of community center in 1970 or 1970s.
Yeah. Yes, I think it's here.
I'm sure we did them back then, but it.
Trust you.
So there was bid specs put together, and everybody got a copy of those, right? So I was just wondering.
Everyone was provided the CAD files that were put together as part of the ARPA project. So whatever company was selected will still have to take those files and make an RFP from that and do their own confirmation of the CAD file specifications, but it saves them a lot of work and extra money to do it themselves because they have a solid base.
So the bid specs, I know the financial policy changed, that didn't have to come to the board to go out for a bid to these people?
That will come to the board.
No, the original bid specs to hire the engineers, saying here's what we want you to bid on.
So there's not been bid specs put together. What came to the board, or what this is a request for approval of professional services. That's put together different. The bid
okay.
specs for
All
the.
Right. I'm good.
Thank you.
One following question, because I know, and I take full responsibility as part of it, because Brenda and I were involved in this bathroom here, that we messed up and didn't put one of those water things in by the drinking fountain. So I don't know if you're even doing that, but I just want to remind that we need those.
We actually have bottle fill stations at the community center in that hallway.
We did them all everywhere. Yeah. After that, yes.
All right, sorry.
We have a motion and support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Number 10 is to waive the financial policy and accept Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing for the purchase of an aerial fire truck.
So moved.
Motion Eldridge?
Support.
Support Thornton? Chief Densmore.
Good evening, trustees, madam. Here to tonight to waive the financial current policy of the township and go forth with Sourcewell, who the township has been a member since 2017 and have used it for different articles to purchase throughout the township. I was made aware of this and did my due diligence checking in on it and enclosed some official paperwork in your packet in case we needed to review anything as far as what they could do for us and what the program was all about. So I'm here tonight to ask to use Sourcewell in order to move forward to purchase an aerial fire engine to serve the township here.
And what will be brought back to the board?
The proposal, whoever Once, if this is to proceed tonight, then we'll have a proposal from a manufacturer that Sourcewell will recommend. Once they get all this stuff and they look at it on our behalf, obviously we have the final say-so, and we would look at it, and I would come forth and say, I would, on behalf of the fire department, we would recommend it to you folks for the final vote. Or to proceed with that manufacturer, I should say.
Yeah. Yes. Trustee Peterson.
I do see that we sold the old one. Do you know how much we got for that, the one that was 30 years old?
Yes, ma'am.
How much was that for?
I'm sad to say $1,000.
Oh, that's something.
it is something, yes. That truck, I understand, was here obviously way before I was, and it did serve the township very well in its capacity. And the manufacturer of that went out of business. In fact, we had two fire engines under the name of American LaFrance, and they went out of business several years ago, and we couldn't get any parts. Even from my previous employer, we had a few American LaFrances, and we had to get parts made by a local machine shop, and I think Chief Copeland at the time had to do some things as well to keep your fleet at the time up and running. And unfortunately, they went by the wayside. So it did do a well job for the township.
So also, what you're indicating, when you get the bids for the new trucks, then you'll come back, because you don't know a price right now, right?
Correct. I would have everything in a solid price form for you to look at. This is just the first step of moving forward with Sourcewell to be our help.
Yeah, just for a point of information, Sourcewell is in our financial policy, but we haven't really, I don't recall using it. And in the past, it's like BidNet or what's the other one? The Michigan one?
Mitten.
We that's it, yeah.
Our smaller things on there as force.
And Sourcewell was put in for fire. Wayne Dudley actually submitted it, and we amended the financial policy, and it is in our financial policy to use Sourcewell to help prepare the bids and bid them out and then bring them back to the township board for approval.
Right.
As a second point, we did, the chief, and I guess I did too, send letters to Senator Irwin. His office actually reached out to us and said, do you want to submit anything for the budget, for the state budget? That's the first time in history. I was so excited. And so I mean, I really was, and I think I don't know if they'll be able to do it, but we need two of these small ladder aerial trucks, and one would be currently on the south side of the town. We don't have one right now.
Correct. We would divide it north and south. And
so that we could cover.
So we could cover.
So we're still trying to get money from the state of Michigan for that.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Yes, Trustee.
I'm just trying to understand the policy changes. So this South, what's their name? Sourcewell, will like, normally the bid, just old school, is they normally develop the bid specs here, bring them to the board, we'd approve those, and then you go out for a bid. They're going to do all of that, yes. Right? Is that what I'm hearing? And then they're,
correct, Chief. That's
they're going to come back here.
Yes.
Yeah.
When they work with you to develop those specs, or with your, you got a team or something that decides what they want on the truck, or do you see the truck somewhere else that you like? Or
yes.
So
yes.
Yes. I currently have four members, number five being myself, made up of current firefighters who ride the trucks every day. And we would sit down. We would look. We have different pictures. There's three vendors that basically make this truck. So we would then have magazine articles and stuff we can look online. So there's a few that are somewhat in production right now that would be a little cheaper than if we waited. The average wait time on these trucks are anywhere between 2 to 4 years. So I was thinking about this and seeing how it would progress the township, and then I was told about these production trucks that are in there, and you can change a few things around in there as far as like the color we wanted, the rims, that kind of thing. So with that being said, that's when I would rely on these my apparatus board, I would call them, to help develop and put the stuff that would best serve the residents and the firefighters at the time of need on this truck. So one person would not make the decision as far as what would be on it. It would be a collaborative joint effort.
So when they put that together, the trucks that are in production, mm-hmm. So then What is anybody bidding on then? They're not, right? Really, or?
So when they say production, they're going down the line, per se, and they have customers regular that buy them every day. But in order to track their business, they'll put like two or three of these, I don't want to use the word demo, they call them production trucks, that are in there that are basically the same, but there's nothing really on them as far as like the pump capacity, the amount of hose, stuff like that. And a lot of stuff I don't need to actually put on there because I have reserve at the fire station. So it would even come up, I can say, no, we don't need that. We could per se do something a little bit more as far as maybe some equipment that we don't have that we could put in along with the production when it goes down the line.
So we're not really, my whole point is we're not really bidding this in because you already got a company that's producing it, right?
So there's three companies out there.
And so three different companies
yes.
got this.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I didn't allude to that. So
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm good.
Thank you. And Chief, I know you've been looking into this, and the price continues to go up.
Yes.
It's disgusting.
I was just informed the other day, so the actual motor itself that drives the truck, January 1st is going up to $80,000 alone just for that because of a lot of the tariffs that are coming through, the more mechanicals that are put on it. And these trucks obviously are being made before the first of the year, so they can't put that cost. They can't come to me tomorrow and say, sure, we'd love to sell you the truck, but we're going to put another $80,000 on it. Those laws aren't going to go into effect till January.
Thank you, Chief.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments?
Yes, I have one.
Trustee Newman?
The aerial truck differentiates from a regular fire truck because of its capability?
Yes, sir. So if you're familiar with the last two fire engines we bought, they're truly a fire engine where it holds anywhere between 500 to 1,000 gallons of water, has a couple of ladders, fire hose, and stuff. This particular truck that we're pursuing has a ladder on top versus the ones that we would actually pull out and just put up against the house. Okay. This is an aerial device that we can put up and stick right to the roof if we needed to. A lot better for the firefighter safety during the wintertime. Some of the smaller streets we can get down, it can anywhere between 75 and 77 foot long as far as the extension. We should be, and we have been, anytime we put firefighters in a building, we put a ladder up on the second story for a means of egress. So if something was to happen, we could set that truck up within seconds to get somebody out of an upstairs window when we first pulled up. God forbid anybody be trapped on the second or third floor of a home or a building. And we've got some new hotels coming in that can we can assist that as well.
Okay. As opposed to taking out a ladder.
Exactly. Which in my time, it usually takes two or three firefighters to pull, depending on the size of the ladder, to get it up to a window. And if it's icy conditions or whatever, you always run into a risk of slip and falls and that type of thing.
Right.
This truck can be put up by one person within seconds.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing, you can go to the microphone if you don't mind. I'm sorry.
Hi, Sharon Lee again. Is it the kind of truck that has the ladder that's like remote? I don't know if it's remote, but it comes out with the little basket on the top of it?
So the one that we are looking at does not have the basket. It just has a straight ladder that goes up. And at the end of that ladder is actually a nozzle and has a pre-piped waterway in there. So we can use it for an elevated stream to say if we were to have a fire in a salvage yard or something where it was too dangerous to put firefighters close, we can raise that and put it over the top in kind of like a shower in your house. It would come down on top of it like that.
Great. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Good question. Any other comments? Hearing none, we have a motion of support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is to approve the agreement between Washtenaw County Sheriff and Ypsilanti Township for the purpose of providing special deputy authority to the fire chief and the fire marshal. So moved. Motion Eldridge.
Support.
Support. Thornton. I don't know. Thank you. Support Thornton.
Chief. Yes. Thanks again, everybody. I have a request here from the fire marshal and myself. due to the nature of our business, when we investigate fires, we are potentially anytime, even though a fire turns out to be accidental, but when we first get there, we're not exactly sure what's going on, and all potentially when we go to school to become certified as arson investigators, we are investigating a potential crime or a potential felony. And I myself have had some personal experiences with being surprised by people. Once the fire is put out and people start to disseminate and crews leave, you end up a lot of times being on the scene by yourself. We have a wonderful sheriff's department that stays with us throughout the fire and has helped us tremendously. But as their call volume grows, they're not allowed, or they're not a lot of times to stay with us because they have other pending calls and need to go. And at that particular time, we're fine, nothing goes. But as we know, people watch and they see different things, and they see the police leave, they like to come and start talking to us, and a lot of times things escalate and we have to call the police back. So, and another aspect of it is too is that a lot of times we let the scenes cool down to let all the carcinogens and the bad stuff that's in the house escape overnight, so we come back the next day to do the investigation. It's been very hard lately to get a road officer to sit with us for 2 to 3 hours or up to 8 hours if we have an insurance investigators with us to find that cause and origin of the fire. So rather than trying to coordinate and postpone everything and get these people, because we're on a timeline to get these folks back in our house and make them whole or whatever, or to solve what's going on, and to relieve the sheriff's department of sitting there and waiting for us and getting things coordinated, we're the fire marshal and ISF are asking to be able to be issued a weapon in order to carry it while we're investigating fires only. This handgun would be secured in the car at all times. If the sheriff is with us all the time, it would never be removed. If they or she has to leave and we have to come back the next day, we have set out a policy that I'm currently working on as well. And as long with Sheriff Dreyer and the undersheriff, policies and procedures we're going to follow with them as well. The first step is actually going in front of you folks, getting permission with the contract that's in front of you to get your blessing on it and to be sworn in and then be moved into the process of what they refer to as their special deputy or their reserve officers. We would have to follow the same training they would do. We would have to qualify with what I refer to them as, I think, as a range officer every 6 months or every year, however they would tell us they want us to do this. And by no means would this be taken lightly. In my past employment, I was surprised twice on a fire scene, and I'm very thankful to be standing here in front of you as your chief here today because things worked out okay. We do have the blessing of the sheriff and also the undersheriff. I've been working on this for probably about the last 6 months or so with the supervisor, our attorney, and Mr. Eldridge as well. So what I'm looking to from you folks tonight is to move forward with your blessing for us to start the procedure and start in the proper schooling and the procedures that we would need to do to move forward with being able to carry a weapon while on the fire scene, only in the purposes of investigating the fire. If the sheriff is with us the 24/7, that would never be removed from the car. If he or she was had to leave and we would do it, then it would be strapped on our hip. It would be in a concealed mode. That's what the sheriff would like. She doesn't want it out to cause any other undue rest. So it would be covered up at all times. And then once we left the fire scene, before we left the fire scene, it would be taken off. It would be locked back up in the car. It would be disabled. And we would just go on about our business. We would, I know I would, if I'm there as well, in the sheriff's deputy, we would tell them that, you know, hey, we know you guys are leaving, but we're going to have these with us now. So if they get called back, they're not surprised as well. It would be a communication part on our part to let them know that, you know, we're good, but they have to leave. We understand. But if you get a call coming back with two guys walking around, it's us. And so they know what's going on.
Superior Township is also...
Yes, ma'am. Superior Township is going the same way. We didn't know when I first talked about this, we didn't know that there was the special deputy avenue to go to. And it's been a learning experience for all of us. And I can't really speak to say where Superior is going right now. I know they're going towards it. I just don't know what steps or progress that they're in at the actual moment. And as far as our policies and procedures, I've wrote a few. I've turned them in to the supervisor. She's looked at them, and I believe I'm going to be getting some pointer tips from Trustee Eldridge as well.
Questions or comments?
And then that policy will come Trustee back for approval?
Yes.
Yep. I might have a question, Madam Chair.
Yes. So
it's not one of the sheriff's persons, right, as far as the special deputy sheriff. Is he coming from your department and being trained?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
The fire marshal and yourself, right?
Yes, we would be going to them.
Yeah, so... Yep. One of your people will be trained to be a special deputy sheriff.
Yes,
right?
There would be two. Yes.
There'd be two.
Yep.
That's what I thought. I just want to get a clear understanding. Where's that budget come from?
So that's probably going to come out of my training budget.
Okay.
And it was in, and thank you all for that last year for increasing it. I appreciate that. So that would be coming from our training budget in order to facilitate that. And anything that would be needed to support that, which will be in the policies and procedures, will be their line item on the way down.
So... If you needed him, is he on staff at all time or only on special occasion when you needed him?
So the fire marshal's on call 24 hours a day, yeah. Seven days a week.
How about those deputies?
Yeah. So the deputies themselves would be the fire marshal and myself. They labeled the special deputy on this contract that you have.
Yes. Got it.
When the fire marshal goes away, I cover him because I have the same training that he does to investigate the fires.
So it'll be you two. It's not...
No, ma'am. It's strictly the two of us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments?
I just have a small question. Well, it's not small.
Trustee, just one moment.
Oh, yeah. All right.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no,
go
you
ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, Sharon Lee again. So you would be a police officer and a fire marshal?
No, ma'am.
No?
Nope. Our role as the fire marshal is to find the cause and origin of the fire.
Okay.
So the only thing that would even be remotely related to the police department is the title special deputy to carry the weapon while investigating the fire only. Once we get on the property, our authority would start then, which we have by law through our fire investigation training. And then when we leave, it would be left on the car.
Okay. But you have to go through training as a police officer.
I'm qualifying with a weapon. The laws that we have already are, when we go to arson school, we go through the same school as they do. A lot of the police officers go with the firefighters to arson school, so we both have the same training as far as the investigation. What I'm asking the board tonight is just to allow us to do one more step further to protect ourselves and what's going on there, because we're investigating a potential felony. Of if it's a set fire, if it's not, if it's accidental, it's accidental. There's no crime.
Okay. And one other thing, would you be required to wear a police cam? I don't know if that's what they call them or not, but like body cam. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. As of right now, no. The sheriff could change her mind, or the undersheriff could change their mind at any point in time. But at this particular time, no. I will tell you this much. If we find, when we're doing our due diligence and finding what's going on, if we find a crime or we find something that's serious, then we back out, and then we get with the sheriff and tell him we need a detective, and the detective will come with us, because at that point in time, he has to pull warrants, and he has to do different things that we find. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, I'm still learning every day of everybody's position in the sheriff's department, but a lot of times those PRC, the deputies have went to that same school, so they're very familiar with how we approach and what we find.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, Trustee Newman?
I think part of a concern would be if you are investigating arson, and I'm wondering if you are approached by, say, a person, would de-escalation be your first priority as opposed to using what you would have? And not to say you would.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's under the understanding, when I talked to Steve about it, the fire marshal, Steve Walgren, that is there. Once we see things, then we just start, what I refer to just have the gift of gab. Oh, all right, we found, we're out, take care, we're gone, you know, and never turn your back type deal and just grab our stuff or leave it and just leave. Mm-hmm. And then call the police and tell them what happened. Basically, the weapon would be there just as a deterrent, you know, for all practical reasons. But yes, I would never just be pulled on somebody who come up and had a legitimate question or started a fight with you or something. We would say, this is, you know, we're out. You know, you can have your house back. We're out of here type deal.
Right, because, you know, if you felt threatened or something, you know, that would could be an excuse, but that could be a reason.
Absolutely. And there's, like I said, there's going to be a lot of training involved with this.
Yeah.
And that's probably some of the things that I'm sure that they'll want us to do, which would be most acceptable, obviously, yeah, for that.
But I do understand you needing something and being by yourself with no protection. I get that.
Sure. And it's just one of those things that, you know, people do things that we all know that aren't right every day. So.
Right. Okay.
Thank you, Chief. Any other questions? We have a motion in support. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Number 12 is budget amendment number 8. Clerk Swanson.
Motion to amend the 2025 budget number 8. Move to increase the general fund budget by $57,667 to $21,335,079 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the fire fund budget by $2,071 to $5,598,019 and approved department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the bike, sidewalk, recreation, roads, general, BSR 2 fund budget by $19,450 to $2,356,140 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the Environmental Service Fund budget by $2,321 to $4,297,999 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the Recreation Fund budget by $6,713 to $998,737 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the budget department fund by $17,134 to $988,463 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the law enforcement fund by $2,095 to $10,383,585 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the compost fund budget by $2,522 to $893,119 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. Move to increase the motor fund pool budget by $518 to $420,317 and approve the department line item changes as outlined. So moved.
Motion Swanson.
Support.
Eldridge. Just for everyone's information, this is in response to the TPOAM employee wage for the union contract that was settled. So these are doing the budget amendments for that. Any other questions or comments? Did you want to say something? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Under authorization and bids, we have accepted the bid from ESO Software for fire and EMS software system in the amount of $20,457.60. Motion Rowe.
Support.
Support Thornton.
Good evening again. back again. Looking for your folks' approval to move forward with the ESO software. What this is that every time we respond to a 911 call or a call for service, I will say, we have to file a report with either the state of Michigan on the firefighters training side, the firefighters training bureau, and also LARA, which is the medical side. We currently have had in place a company image trend that you'll see there, and they were originally brought in about 10 years ago with a group rate with the city of Ann Arbor. Since then, the company, in my opinion, has went downhill. Ann Arbor was the first one to bring them in, the first one to get off the ship. It just was not working for them. They continuously kick our reports back, or the server won't accept them. And I got a notice the other day from the state saying that there was 8 outstanding, because they keep track of it for tracking purposes and Q&A, that didn't receive 18 of our run reports. So long story short, I went to them, tried to get a hold of them. That was like not well received on their part. They always want to, once you get, you have to pull a ticket number, you get with them, and then when you talk to them, they want to try and figure out how you can fix it instead of them telling you how they're going to fix it. Started looking around. Our current contract up with them with ImageTrend is done in October. And I thought, well, this is the best time to start chopping around to see if we could do something different. Talked to multiple fire chiefs from our surrounding communities, Salem, Pittsfield, Superior, Ann Arbor City, not Ann Arbor City, I'm sorry, Ypsilanti City, and potentially ourselves in Van Buren, who all respond on a mutual aid aspect of the software, where we could obtain any reports we would need if we did a mutual aid call with them, and they could get into us and get and download our reports if they needed to with permission. These ImageTrend folks are actually going to increase their payment January 1st. They're actually going to have what they refer to as a third-party vendor help them. The state of Michigan is returning to a newer fire reporting system. It's called, I have a hard time pronouncing it, I believe you call it like NERFRS, I think it is what the, how you pronounce it. But what it does, and then they have another system called NEARS that they won't integrate, so they have to hire another company to actually help them do that, and it's just a big, big deal. ESO actually owns their own company as far as, and don't have a third party, and their system automatically mirrors from the first day that we would sign up with them and use them as our sole provider. They are a little expensive up front at the $20,000-some-odd there we spoke about, but there's also a one-time recurring fee that they will reach out to ImageTrend and gather all of our past data or our calls for service and import them to our system. So if we had a FOIA or if we ever involved any type of legality suit, we could go back and pull that out without having to get a subpoena or have Mr. Winters do his due diligence of trying to get that information on our behalf of, say, of an accident we were responded to. What I was also intrigued very much about is our mutual aid partners, as I had mentioned, has this. It's a very easy system. We can use it for, depending on what we wanted, we can program it to, we could end up doing staffing, we could do payroll, whatever we want. They have a system to do it. And, of course, you'd pay more for that. But right now, I just want to start out with the basics that we would require to send our reports on a timely notice and not get notices from the state saying our vendor is not really producing for us. What are you going to do about it, meaning myself? So just asking for your blessing tonight to move forward with ESO to make our reporting system one of the better ones here in the community.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? We have a motion in support. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. There's no other business, but just for a point of clarification, the resolution for the noxious weed and the proposed ordinance are in alignment. Under public comments, we had public comments. Are there any public comments? Good. Board member comment?
We have one.
Yes. Can you come to the microphone, please? And,
all right, thank you. I'm Connie Latimer-Smith, and my question is about the new amendment or suggestion or plan, I'm not using the proper word possibly, that the officer that the fireman is presenting regarding a gun. My question is, will a body cam be required? You know, that's one question. If they do need to use the weapon, and will there be emphasis upon, if they do need to use the weapon, on to protect themselves, that they would not shoot to kill, which could be an issue that would be really great if all of our police did that. Not shoot to kill, shoot to stop the person, shoot to protect yourself, hit a leg or an arm, or not shoot to kill. Not the heart, not the head, not the face, not the chest, but, you know, is that going to be emphasized? That would be great if it were.
So I'm going to be sitting with the chief to help go over the policy. Mm-hmm. The decision on a body cam will be the sheriff's and the sheriff's alone. Mm-hmm. So she will make that decision, and then we'll follow her direction on it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as firing the weapon, the lieutenant may correct me on this, since I think he's a firearms person, but there's no such thing as a shoot to kill. It's a shoot to stop the threat for the safety of yourself or others.
Mm-hmm.
So they would follow the same protocols that deputies or any law enforcement officer in Michigan is sworn to do through the training that's handled and covered by the state. So they would follow those same protocols.
So is there any consideration in stopping a person by not aiming at the heart or the head in that procedure of stopping a person?
I would leave that up to a firearms person, but they'll get that training that every police officer does. Obviously, the first thing they're going to do is try to de-escalate it through a verbal command,
mm-hmm.
And then they'll follow the training that they're given by the sheriff, deputies who are range instructors who are certified by the state of Michigan to do that. It doesn't answer your question.
No, it does not.
It doesn't. But what you're asking is much easier to ask than it is to implement, having done it for 20-plus years.
I know.
It's much easier to ask the question. It's much more difficult to give you or anybody an answer that would satisfy you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll simply follow the training that they're given, like every other law enforcement officer would do. There's never an intent to take a life. That's not why you do that. You're mm-hmm. trying to stop the threat to yourself or the public.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Board member comment? You're done.
I have.
Oh, yes. Trustee.
I don't know anybody.
Peterson?
Briefly, just want to commend the township. I had the pleasure to attend the classic car show at Ford Lake. I believe Robin was telling me it was like 50 cars last year. It went up to very close to 200 cars there, and it was outstanding. So we commend Robin, and we commend the township. I commend the workers, that the young people that really helped her too. Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have one comment. Is Mr. Winters was asked by our employee to be his voice. I was there when he asked in this case where a gun was pointed in his face. And it wasn't our desire to 13 different scheduled hearings, but if we didn't, I do think that we made a difference. Well, I know it. No one will ever admit it, but I do know it, and I think it's important that we do whatever is necessary to represent our employees, and that is what Mr. Winters was asked to do. That's what we did, and on Monday we'll be there at the trial before the judge to do it. So I just want to make that as part of my board member comments. Motion to adjourn?
So.
Motion Eldridge?
Support.
Support Thornton? All in favor?
Aye.
The time is 8:52.